Everybody, welcome to Wiener's Barbecue. The throat's a little groggy. I've finished my juice. I'm just going to have to deal with it. Welcome, everybody, to Wiener's Barbecue here on 101.9 FM CITR Radio, Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada. The radio campus on the... the radio station on the UBC campus. My name is Daryl Wiener. Every Tuesday from 4:30 to 6, Wiener's Barbecue. Anyways, on the show today, on a rainy, rainy Vancouver afternoon. But the weather's getting a little better, isn't it? It's like, it's not too hot, it's not too cold anymore. The weather's starting to come around for us, and it's time to sort of kick back, and you can see the end of the tunnel now. You can see it, we have some nice February days ahead. You could see it in the yonder. And those deadly, that deadly cold weather is leaving us. I found myself rambling about the weather there.
Oh, nice.
Rambling about the weather there. I will say, and it's your guys' fault.
Whoa.
On top right into that.
Yeah, we got it. There's your headset, Cody.
All right.
Are the headsets working? I just sort of found them right now, and you might have to do a little adjusting there. Anyways, folks, on the show today, I just got to promote the show right now, guys. On the show today, on Wiener's Barbecue today, we're going to have with us, in a moment right now, we're going to have Cody Berg from the UBC Thunderbird men's basketball team and Vern Knopp, fresh off their sweep. No, I'm sorry, their split. Their split. I apologize. Their split in Victoria against the Vikes. Great games. We're going to interview these guys for about 15 minutes, and then at about 5 o'clock, we're going to have Steve Ewan on from the Vancouver Province. Always love to have Steve on the show. At 5:20, we're going to have Adam Siegel, one of my best friends, oldest friends. Did you guys catch? You had a game that night. Did you catch any of the Vancouver Buffalo game? The highlights or anything?
Not a moment.
Anything?
I saw the highlights a little late in the evening, though.
Did you hear about the Vancouver fans from Toronto that went down to the game in Buffalo?
Yeah, I heard more actually in the paper when I got home on Sunday. They had a big article on it, so I read that.
My friend Adam's the guy who wrote the article.
Oh, wow. It was good
article. Part of that. Yeah, not bad. Part of that whole group. I had about 5 or 6 really good friends went to that. So.
Well, that's kind of cool when you get that kind of support when you're far away from home. So.
And they were very drunk.
looked like in the picture.
They were very drunk. And at 5:40, our NFL guy, B.J. Brian Bass from Las Vegas, will be with us. And you called the Colts.
I called the Colts, yep. They didn't win by as much as I thought.
I thought 10.
I said 10. I said 2 touchdowns, I think, but... They got off to a bad start, but...
Did you call the Bears, or were you...
I actually thought the Bears would. Just dome team playing outdoors in cold weather. I kind of like the Bears a little bit.
And you made some legal wagers?
No, I passed on this weekend.
Ah, so, you passed.
Yeah, I had the week before, so I was
Cody,
happy.
Cody, you a football guy or just rugby?
Mostly rugby. Yeah, never really been that football guy.
I can't really talk rugby.
It's a competitive sport.
I'm not really much to talk about in rugby anyway. There's no point spreads or anything like that.
Awesome. With us right now, and I'm thrilled to have him on the show, as I mentioned, Cody Berg, instrumental in UBC's 83-72 win on Saturday night, in Victoria. You guys lost 89-78 on Friday. You had to win one of two.
Yeah.
But you had a good game on Friday, but an even better game on Saturday. And before we get into you, Cody, Vern, tell us about Cody Berg here, the big man down low for UBC. What kind of player he is?
Cody's probably one of our bigger guys, 6'8", 240.
Yeah, probably one of your bigger guys. Yeah, probably.
I've had to go against him in practice the odd time, so he's definitely a good solid 240. Cody came in from Douglas College, who he had a good career, 3-year career there. We'd actually been recruiting Cody for the past 5 years since he was out of high school, Shawinigan Lake.
Made it.
Just took him a little longer to get here than we all wanted, but we were pretty happy to get Cody in this summer, and he's just really, the second half of the year, really starting to establish himself now. Anytime he's on the floor, he's doing positive things for us, especially rebounding, scoring inside for us. the problem is trying to keep him on the floor with staying out of foul trouble.
Yeah, now, Cody, let's talk about, I mean, on Saturday night, you had, I think it was 15 points. I think you had 9 rebounds in that game, that sounds about right. I mean, it was, but you had clutch baskets. They were going to you down the stretch. Yeah. No Chris Dick, no Casey Archibald.
No, it was big moments at the end of the game there.
Down to Cody Berg in the post. So, Cody, what did it mean, though, because for you coming into this weekend against Victoria, I mean, the matchup is for you guys to succeed. They've got Jacob Dirks in there, Graham Bollinger, two excellent postmen on the Victoria Vikes team, so you have to step up. What were you thinking coming into the weekend?
Oh, I don't know. It was going to be a big weekend, whether or not, like, win or lose. I'm playing against my brother. I can't lose against my brother.
Yeah. Mitch didn't play, though.
No, Mike. That, my brother's Mike.
Oh, Mike.
No,
okay, yeah.
He didn't get too many minutes this weekend.
But what did that mean, though, coming in there this weekend, taking on those two players and succeeding like you did?
Oh, it felt great. Just even as a team getting together at the end of the game like that and exploiting themselves. I don't know. I don't even know how to say it. It just felt great. We were just all clicking at the end of the game. It was working well. We tried our new offense. And just things flowed well.
And Cody, you told me in our post-game interview there that at halftime, you got motivated because Kevin Hansen said he's going to start the second half with 5 small players out there, so you were sitting the bench, and you said that motivated you.
Oh, it sure did. I wanted to just make impression when I walked on that floor.
What were you thinking? Your big guys are sitting to start the second half.
Well, we've been talking about it different times this year. You know, Randy and Kevin, both being guards, have always kind of have that, you know, they love having their guards on the floor, and we felt with the lack of depth on Victoria, especially in their backcourt, that, you know, we'd force them to have to match up with us, and we didn't think they could do that. You know, ultimately, we didn't really start 5 guards. We started 4 guards and Matt Racher in the post. And they did. They admitted after the game they really struggled to adapt with it. They played guys at minutes that they normally don't do. It's something that I think it's nice to know that we can go to it when need be, but I don't think we'll start too many games with that lineup.
How'd you stay out of foul trouble for that game, Cody?
Well, I don't know, the first game I got in a little foul trouble. I was just too much arm play. The second play, you just got to move your feet a bit faster, just play a little bit smarter.
Because you actually had 4 at the end of the game, but it wasn't until the end of the game that you got
those 4. They're evenly distributed in the second game, right?
Is that the key to Cody? He just has to stay out of foul trouble?
He's got to stay out of foul trouble, yeah. He's got to, exactly what you just said, he's got to move his feet and not get lazy and use too much upper body. So when he's moving his feet and staying low in his stance, he can, he'll stay out of foul trouble.
And what's the high point? I mean, he was sort of doing, is it almost a half baby hook he takes, or is it a baby hook? What's that?
It's a baby hook.
A little baby hook.
Yeah.
That's the Cody Berg move?
Oh, that's the go-to. Yeah.
Now, Cody, I got to ask. I mean, I can see it's fixed now, but, you know, on the weekend, you can see it at practice. You have the missing tooth.
Oh, yeah, it's still underneath here. Yeah, I got to replace the one right now.
Now, I'm told that's not rugby. That's actually a basketball injury?
It started with rugby. The root died. I got kneed in the head, and then compliments to Jason Beering. He knocked it out fully in practice.
So basketball is a rough sport too, then, hey?
Oh, it gets pretty physical underneath that basket.
So, bad losing his tooth, or has he been better since losing the tooth?
It's actually been better since.
grinding it out.
Got to miss a week of practice, and he came back, and he's been playing better since. So maybe we should knock a few more out every now and then.
And what's the adjustment, Cody, coming from rugby to basketball? Did you play basketball your whole life? Have you played rugby?
I picked up basketball and rugby at my high school when we were in grade 10. Rugby and both basketball, they're two great sports, but this year, in the next few years, I've decided to take basketball as my prime sport, finish it up, and see what happens from there.
And is it hard? You know, rugby, your job is to hit people.
Oh, yeah.
And basketball, you can't really hit too much. That's a hard adjustment for you.
Oh, yeah, it's a little change. Yeah.
He's still got a little rugby moves down low? Or?
He's got a lot of rugby moves down low. He kind of like the more physical it gets, I think the more Cody's comfortable with it. And actually, that was good about Saturday night's game. The officials came out and really let us play. They let both teams battle it out and let the players decide the game. So it was he definitely thrived in that kind of environment.
And is that something they're having trouble, like the refs are adjusting to Cody's style in the CIS?
I think they're starting to a little bit. Yeah. You know, and I think it's also a combination of him adjusting to more of their style now. He knows he can't get away with certain things. It's just a combination of the two.
So on to the weekend, though. Friday night, you guys came out in a game of runs. It was 10-all. Things were even. Both teams were playing good. And then they went on an 8-0 run. You went on an 8-0 run to tie it. And then one of the runs of the year I've seen, a 27-4 run against you guys. You got it all the way back down to 1 point, couldn't finish it off. Vern, on Friday night, I got to ask, what did you guys learn? What was going on in that? Because you didn't look like you were playing well at all in that run. You were throwing the ball out of bounds. They're running all over you. 27-4 against you. What happened?
Yeah, well, we couldn't have played any worse, but it really taught us, I think, that, one, you have to compete for 40 minutes every game, all the time. And more disappointing for us was that even though we were struggling offensively and turning the ball over, you know, we've talked all year about trying to play, you know, play great defense and stop, so we're not having those runs. We're not scoring offensively that we can prevent those runs happening from us. And really, our defense, as bad as our defense was worse. And I think we learned the lesson by Saturday.
Yeah. And Cody, one of the high points for you guys Friday night for me was that Chris Dick dunk.
Oh, yeah, that pumped everybody up.
Was it over Tyler Haas and another guy? Was it over two guys?
No, it was definitely over Bollinger.
Bollinger?
Was it Bollinger?
Yeah, I thought it was Tyler, actually, but it was pretty impressive.
Probably over both of them.
Maybe it was over both of them.
Can you dunk like that, or is that a Chris Dick move?
Oh, yeah, of course I can. Nah. No, I don't think. Chris has the hops on our team.
It doesn't look like it, though, when you look at the guy.
No, he actually kind of has a different kind of running style, really upright and doesn't really look it, but we've seen it a few times now in practice, and then his game, I think he's leading our team in dunks this year. Yeah. In games as well, so he's had a few nice ones over the course of the year.
And sticking with Friday night, Victoria had to sweep the weekend. You guys had to get a split to really be comfortable the rest of the way. Was that one of the differences in that game, was they did have to win it more than you?
Well, I think the Friday game, it was definitely... you know, I guess maybe their backs were against the wall a little bit more in that game. But as we've come to know over the years, it's really tough to win when you have two good teams going at it. It's tough to get a sweep at any time, whether it's at home or on the road, playing the same team back to back. And I definitely noticed they didn't seem to have nearly the same intensity the next night after winning.
Well, yeah, take us to Saturday night, and Cody, I'd like to ask you. They're doing the whole Ken and Kathy Shield ceremony, and they pulled out the most 50 national championships between those two coaches. About 3,000 people were in the gym that night, and the stat came out 281-19. Two coaches' record at home in those 35 years of coaching. But you guys were just in the locker room for the whole thing, weren't you?
Yeah, we missed out on all that.
Good thing?
Yeah. I don't know. We wanted to get focused, preparation for the game, keep our heads in the game.
Because I was surprised. I thought, actually, I expected that start from you, Vic. But I saw you guys, it was a really loose team before that game, really loose, focused team, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah, for sure. I mean, it was kind of one of the things that, actually, if you could have been in our team room before the game, it was probably the most relaxed we've been all year. I think the guys knew what they had to do. But we've found over the years, the more relaxed our team is before a game, usually the better we play.
No, I saw it because I'm walking out there and Casey sort of gives me a high five and Alex Murphy gives me a wave. They don't normally do that, but they were doing that before that game.
We had a lot of good laughs before the game. You know, Les Brown, one of our assistant coaches, was cracking a few jokes, and Chris Dick was actually doing some impersonations, keeping the guys loose, and it was a pretty relaxed atmosphere.
What was he doing, Cody?
He can do the Bill Cosby pretty good. Yeah.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Have to get that on the radio sometimes.
Yeah, you got to get him in here.
I have to get that on the radio. And the start to that game, terrible. They were all over you. What happened there? 14 points down, 5 minutes in.
When you find out, let us know. I have no idea what happened. We just came out flat again for whatever reason. But it was still different atmosphere coming in for us. I mean, I think they were pretty pumped up with a large crowd and the ceremonies with Kathy and Ken Shields. So... it was just a matter of weathering the early storm, start running our offense, and we were going to be fine.
Because you were there for the ceremony.
I kind of watched part of it. I was mostly hanging out.
Did you see Ken Shields when he talked to the bench?
No, I actually...
How he looked at the UVic bench in the middle of the ceremony, he looked at the bench and said, "Your job is half done, guys. Finish them off tonight."
Wow.
Yeah, he said that. I thought you guys were in big trouble.
No, we were in the team room hanging out, having some fun over there, so I'm kind of glad we missed that.
And Cody, this was gut check time for you guys, down 14 points. If you get swept this weekend, it's definitely a bad signal for your team, especially losing to Brandon the week before. Yeah. What happened? What was said? Anything in particular?
You know what? There wasn't much said before the game. Like you said, we were really loose. We were, I think everyone was well mentally prepared for the game.
But what about when they went on the big run, Victoria, and you're down 14 right away? What was said at that point?
You know, I can't tell you. We just came out a little flat. We were throwing the ball away right away. Just got a few easy buckets, so we had to switch it on.
I'm just looking for something. Don't worry about it. Don't worry about me. But the end of the first half, Coach, let me ask you. It seemed that were you guys playing great defense or was Victoria starting to struggle? I do have to ask that because your offense wasn't great in that first half. You sort of just chipped away through defensive stops, it seemed.
Yeah, our offense was not helping us really in the first half. No. It was just lack of execution on our part.
But you got it down to 1 point at halftime. Were you playing great defense or was Victoria starting to tire? That's my question.
I think mostly I'd like to credit our defense for doing a good job, and I think we did. We were making it difficult. We were forcing them to take outside shots. We were taking away the layups, and they had to work a lot harder on offense than they did the previous night. And I think their lack of depth, really, they played only really 7-8 guys the night before. I think that started to affect them as well, especially in the second half.
And the second half, Cody, back to you. I mean, was that your best half of the year, the second half in Victoria on Saturday night?
Oh, I'd say it was probably one of my best halves.
What about the team? What about the team, Coach?
Yeah, it was one of our better ones. I mean, it was just kind of gut check time.
Because
we had lost the night before, and we were down one, but... it's hard to say if it was our best half of the year, but it was the most important half of the year at that time.
So what was Cody doing in that second half, though?
He was just, you know, giving us down low defensively. He was just grabbing all the rebounds. I mean, we went to the small ball with four guards, and really it was the rebounding fell onto his shoulders, and he did that, and he was the only one post player to take away, like force their post hit shots over him. And offensively, he just was big down low. You know, offensively, the guy had a couple baby hooks in there, scoring the 15 points. I think most of them were in the second half. It was just absolutely huge for us.
And Chris Dick, I think it was 27 points in that game.
I don't remember the final thing. I think Archie still had the highest. I think Archie was still at 26, and then Chris was at 21 or something.
Was that it?
Yeah, believe it or not, Archie had a quiet 26 points.
I would have guessed 19. I actually thought, because I asked Kevin Hansen after the game, describe Casey Archibald's weekend. And I sort of said in a way that I wasn't giving Casey the highest... I guess that's how it came out, my tone. I wasn't giving Casey the highest praise. He just sort of gave me this look. Like, what are you talking about? Casey's Casey. He was clutch for you guys?
Casey was clutch. Yeah. He played well the night before. I mean, his shooting percentage wasn't maybe as great as it normally is on the Friday, but Saturday he was huge down the stretch, and he still had 5 assists, 6 rebounds to go. So
did he have 26 on Saturday?
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. That's why I got to have the stat sheets with me sometimes.
There you go. Right? I think he had 51 for the whole weekend.
Yeah,
so,
absolutely. Absolutely. And this weekend you guys have Victoria coming to UBC Memorial Gym. Yeah.
Trinity Western is coming.
What did
this
I say?
Week. You said Victoria.
I meant Trinity.
I meant Trinity.
It came out wrong. I'm sorry. I meant Trinity. And you've got Trinity Western coming to town. You played them once this year. Wild.
Wild. Oh. Crazy.
Wild.
Yeah.
133-130. Triple overtime. Or was it 132-130? I think it was 130-128.
28. Wow.
Triple overtime. Your first game in CIS regular season play, Cody. Are you in shape for this game, actually?
Oh, yeah. I feel like my body actually feels pretty good right now.
Yeah?
Yeah?
You got to do a lot of running on the weekend, don't you?
Oh, yeah. I am, especially against Trinity.
Yeah. What kind of game are we looking at this weekend, Coach?
Well, hopefully it won't be as quite as high. Even the fans like it won't be as high scoring as last time out, but it should be a track meet. Both teams like to get out and run and get fast break points. Both like to shoot the three. It should be wide open, and the team that's going to be able to get the stops and win the rebounding war is probably going to win the game this weekend.
Is the confidence level on the team higher after the weekend, Cody?
Oh, definitely.
Yeah,
definitely. That second win just pumped everybody up.
Like, I personally, you guys got to feel pretty good going the rest of the way here. You've got the game and half lead in essence right now because you have the tiebreaker versus Victoria. This is the position you want to be in with 6 games to go.
Oh, no question. We told our guys after the loss on Friday, if we win Saturday, we still control our own destiny. We're in first place, and that's all you can ask as a basketball team is we win the rest of the way. I think we're allowed one slip up as well. But if we control our own destiny, win the rest of our games, we finish first in Canada West.
Awesome. Well, thank you very much, Vern. So, Vern, we got 2 weeks of the Super Bowl. I will have you on before then, but... who are you liking in that game right now? What is the spread right now?
7.
I take Chicago, actually.
I'd be against you. I like the Colts.
Did you watch the games?
I watched the Colt game.
What, did you ferry home or did you stay in Victoria?
I stayed in Victoria.
Hung out with your brother?
I was with a bunch of other guys I used to play rugby with. Yeah, sat down and watched
the rugby
game.
Crew, hey? They're probably a little crazier than the basketball.
Yeah, it's a different team.
Awesome. Cody, great weekend, though.
All right, thank you.
You really stepped up on Saturday. And I loved after the post game, I was trying. You see how I got you? I was looking at you. Yeah. Were you sure I was asking?
I wasn't sure if you were pointing at the guy behind me.
Vern, as always.
Thank you.
Vern Knopp, always helping me out here on the show. So UBC's next game, Thursday and Saturday at home versus Trinity Western. 8 o'clock starts each night. Great win for these guys on Saturday night. All right, we'll be back in a short moment with more Wiener's Barbecue. You're listening to 101.9 FM.
Baby, if you've ever wondered whatever became of me, I'm living on the air in Cincinnati. WKRP. Got tired of packing and unpacking. Town to town, up and down the dial. Maybe you and me were never meant to be. Just maybe think of me once in a while. I'm at WKRP in Cincinnati.
That's how organized I am today, playing the same song twice there. Anyways, folks, welcome back to Wiener's Barbecue here on 101.9 FM CIT Radio, Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada. Very thankful to have Cody and Vern come on there. And I tell you, went to Victoria on the weekend, and I am still tired. I am still tired from the weekend. I'm sweating in here today, and it's not that hot out, is it? It's not that hot out. Anyways, that was a big weekend win for the UBC Thunderbirds men's basketball team. They are now, in essence, a game and a half up on Victoria because they have the tiebreaker with six games to go. UBC hosts Trinity Western this weekend. UVic will host SFU this weekend. Both teams sitting right around the 500 mark. After that, they both go on the same road trip, and it's a tough road trip. Each team will have to play, I think it's Saskatchewan and Alberta, two pretty good teams, especially Alberta in the Canada West. And then they're going to end the season with what should be gimme wins for these teams, Thompson Rivers and Fraser Valley. So got to figure, UBC currently sitting with a record, I believe it's 15 wins or 16 wins and two losses, something close to that. They're a game up on Victoria in the standings, but when you're talking about losing two games all year, and when you've lost a team such as Brandon and UVic, you got to figure losing two of your last six, and, you know, four of those games are at home, you got to figure this team's sitting pretty good for the rest of the way. Well, there was other games going on in Canada West play on the weekend where Wilson Wong and I were lucky enough to go to Victoria. It was the UBC Thunderbird women took on the UVic Vikes women, and the women also for UBC were quite outstanding, even more outstanding than the men because they actually swept the UVic ladies on the weekend. But UBC is the superior team, and they showed it on the weekend. 71-56 winners on Friday, and then 71-58 winners on Saturday. They got off to a bit of a rough start on Friday night in the first game. I think they were tied or down a point going into the second half, but then to start the second half, they only managed to rip off a 15-0 run, and that was pretty much it for the UBC Thunderbird women on the weekend. They took care of business on Friday night, and then Saturday they were much better. So another excellent weekend for the UBC Thunderbird women, who have actually done the men one better, only losing one game so far this season. So things looking really good for the UBC Thunderbirds basketball teams right now. Both teams clinching first round opponents, and probably the women have SFU on their tail. They lead by a game and a half, in essence, just like the men, as SFU is right on their tail for top spot in the conference. So that's what went on the weekend from our perspective. UBC men's hockey did not play on the weekend. They've got a big weekend coming up here as they have to travel to Manitoba this weekend. So it'll be a big weekend for, as I've said that a lot right now, it'll be a big weekend for Milan Dragicevic and the boys. Their goal, I mean, they're in a playoff battle for one, but their big goal is to catch Calgary for second place in the Canada in their division, and if they're able to catch Calgary, they will get a host a first round playoff game and try to win their first series in approximately 30 years. So they're in that battle right now, but they're going to have to go to Manitoba. They've got 8 games to go, and they currently trail Calgary by 5 points, but UBC will have them in Richmond February 2nd and February 3rd, and what will be the games of the year, regular season-wise, probably for that team. So we'll just have to keep our eye on a big weekend coming up for the UBC Thunderbird men's hockey team, who, if they can pick up a point or two on Calgary this weekend, they are going to be in half-decent shape when Calgary comes to town February 2nd, February 3rd. On CITR Sports this weekend, we're doing something a little different. A little different on the Friday night where we always bring you guys sports is we are going to have volleyball this weekend, which is not something that we normally do. So we're pretty excited about that here. As the volleyball teams come to town to take on UBC, we're going to have Alberta taking on the UBC Thunderbird women at 7 p.m. At 7 p.m. on Friday, and then the men are actually earlier in the day, so we're not going to be doing the men's broadcast on Friday. So we're actually just going to have the UBC Thunderbird women on Friday at 7 p.m. So tune in for that, and hopefully you do enjoy it. Okay, we're going to take another break right now on Wiener's Barbecue, 101.9 FM. I'm going to be right back with Steve Ewan from the Vancouver province, as we're just going to get into a whole bunch of stuff in the world of sports. My friend Adam Siegel, who I don't know if you guys saw the Vancouver Buffalo Sabres game on Friday night, but I had a few friends. I had about, I'll ask Adam exactly who I knew at that game. 4 of my really good friends were at that game, and 2 guys who I'm friendly with were also at the game. But Adam was the guy who wrote the article for the Vancouver province for Sunday's paper. So we're going to have Adam on in about 20 minutes time, but we are right now going to take a quick break, and I'm going to be right back with Steve Ewan from the Vancouver province to get into a whole bunch of stuff in the world of sports. All right, take a break. Be right back with Steve Ewan.
C'est pas fini, c'est appelle-moi quand tu n'as rien d'autre à faire.
Je t'appellerai quand l'envie me prendra.
Je t'appellerai quand je n'ai rien d'autre à faire.
Appelle-moi quand l'envie t'en prendra. Appelle-moi quand tu n'as rien d'autre à faire. Je t'appellerai quand l'envie me prendra. Je t'appellerai quand je n'ai rien d'autre à faire. Appelle-moi.
Okay, everybody, welcome back to Winner's Barbecue here on 101.9 FM CHR Radio, Vancouver, Canada. With us right now, we have a minor sports writing celebrity. Are you a minor sports writing celebrity?
Well, if you attach the moniker minor, I would certainly agree with you.
With us right now, and, you know, we got to get into this, Adam. Adam Siegel, who I'll call you sports writer for the Vancouver province. Can I say that today?
That's a true statement, Daryl.
True statement. Did they did pay you for it, didn't they?
Yeah. I was a freelance writer for the province. Sunday Canucks Insider.
Sunday Canucks Insider. So
special to the province.
There you go. So with us right now, Adam Siegel. Adam was a part of the crew, and his picture was actually in the province. There, he was part of that big group who went down to Buffalo to see the Canucks take on the Sabres on Friday night. There were 42 of you, Adam.
46, actually. We started with 46, but as the story goes, we went down to 43. We lost three guys.
On the way down, hey?
Yeah, three guys ended up in the Grimsby emergency room tending to one man's injuries.
It does make for a better story, doesn't it?
Yeah. Well, the three good tickets went to good guys who got to move down to third row beside the bench.
Canuck fans or just random dudes?
No. Guys we knew. Guys.
Oh,
we knew.
I see.
They had some tickets in another section, and they were able to move down to the big section.
Did you know the guys who couldn't make the game, or?
I didn't know them well enough, but when I sent a big email with the article out on Monday morning, it was a bit of a letdown to see that the guy who had his head bashed in had an out of office reply.
Still not in, eh?
No, he hadn't made it into the office Monday morning.
Was it one of those injuries, though, you feel bad for the guy, but, you know, his doing?
It wasn't his doing, actually.
Oh, no.
I mean, it was everyone's doing, but he actually wasn't paying attention. And the hats on the top of the bus flew back and hit him on the head. He's about 6'4".
That's kind of funny, actually. He went
down in a heap.
Knowing that is kind of okay. Well, Adam, before I get into your game, people saw you on the TV. Unfortunately, it was a pay-per-view game, so not everybody got to see it. But from your perspective, with no commercials during a pay-per-view, they have to show everybody, right? There's no commercials,
right, yeah.
So you guys got some more playtime that way. But the NHL announced today, I don't know if you saw it, Gary Bettman did his thing. They got the All-Star game going on tomorrow, whoop-de-doo, as if I care. But they announced the big thing. I believe the vote was, they needed 20 votes. They needed 20 of the 30 owners. And I heard, I haven't double-checked it yet, but they only got 19. So they actually got 19, just under two-thirds of the owners. But they will not be changing the schedule for next season.
Yeah, I did read on TSN.ca, and I can corroborate that it was 19 out of 30.
Right, so there you go. You guys are a classic example, though, of what's wrong with the schedule.
I can't be more angry, to be honest. I mean, you have to think about it in this terms. Next season, the Vancouver Canucks will not play at all versus Toronto, Montreal, or Ottawa, let alone on the road. Well, we will not play three out of the six Canadian teams as the schedule stands.
And Adam, just from your perspective, being a Canuck fan in Toronto, which, as you guys showed, there are enough of you, you know, they're not going to be going to Buffalo next year. They're not going to be going to any of the New York teams, any of the New Jersey, they're not going to Jersey, Long Island, they're not going to Pittsburgh, they're not going to any Philadelphia. Really, the closest you guys can get is maybe Washington, maybe Detroit, but I'm pretty sure Detroit's a tough ticket.
So, you know what? Like, it might be something weird like Columbus. Who knows?
Right.
I mean, this whole decision is because of Lou Lamoriello and the old boys club in the East who want to save money on travel. It is simple as that. They want to play more games in their own time zone. They don't want to get on the plane and head out west. And supposedly Lamoriello has a lot of clout on this board, from what I understand.
Well, the other thing I have heard, Adam, is that, to be honest, from a Jersey, from a Ranger, from a Flyer perspective, they like the teams that they're getting right now. And I'm told, for the Flyers, their big sell is the New York Rangers. And quite frankly, they have Crosby coming every 4 times a year right now as it is.
Yeah.
So, they like it as it is. But, you know, for the Western Conference teams, I mean, like you said, from a Vancouver perspective, you know, it's great that next year, we're actually, the teams coming to Vancouver next year are pretty good, you know.
Yeah.
We have that division. The Islanders are the bad one, but you got the Rangers, you got the Devils, you got the Flyers. Mm-hmm. Who's the other one in that division?
Pittsburgh.
And you got, of course, I missed that one. So you've got those teams coming to town next year. But, you know, it's just, it shouldn't be, I'm a season ticket holder. We have a group of us, and we have four of us we sell off almost a ton of our games, and we have four of us for 2 tickets. How do we decide who gets to see Crosby next year?
Yeah.
I mean, we're season ticket holders here, and we're going to have to, four of us, in 3 years, two of us aren't going to even get to see Crosby in his first 3 years in the league.
Yeah, I mean, as a Canucks fan, first and foremost, being out in Toronto, I mean, the whole article just showed me, if in particular going to the Canucks.com forum, there was a lot of chatter about us at the game. People watched us. People read the article. And I think a lot of people were surprised and excited, mostly, that Canucks fans are passionate and we're not 45-year-old guys sitting in our seats having a coffee. There are a lot of people out there, especially living now and working, who grew up with the Canucks out east in major cities, and it's a huge blow that the Canucks won't be coming out. It's just a huge, huge blow. I mean, it's such a close decision, too, and it's Gary Bettman looking at the bottom line. It's a bunch of owners who are crabby and want to save money. You know, it's all these, and I mean, the whole other thing is that we need to knock off 5 teams in this league. That's a whole other can of worms.
Well, that, even 6 or 7 or 10.
I'd go for 10 also.
We'll put easy. I'd vote for that in a second.
But
Toronto, my understanding is also, you guys are hockey fans. You're in Toronto. I hear you can't get a ticket to a Leafs game. You got to know somebody, basically.
Absolutely. And I refuse to pay $200 to sit in the rafters. And I mean, personally, I don't even have $200 to sit in the rafters.
No.
So,
yeah.
You know, I'm sort of a normal guy. You know, there's a lot of people who are blue collar workers with kids. They can't take their kids to games. Guys who can't get tickets to the game if they want to pay like face value. There is no face value in Toronto. Everything's jumped up.
So that's the way it is, though. So basically, if you're a hockey fan from a non-Toronto market, you got nothing going on over there, right?
Well, you're scalping tickets.
Yeah.
You're scalping tickets.
No, but you're seeing teams you don't even, you know, you don't even get to see your team.
Exactly. And I mean, I did know a lot of guys, and it's the first time Vancouver has been out in Toronto in 3 years. So a lot of people did go. There were a lot of Canucks fans at the Leafs game. I'm sure people remember when all the booing at the end of the game with Raycroft, that wasn't the Leafs fans booing. That was the Canucks.
So there you have it. And all in all, though, what's the high point you guys got to take out from that game?
Well, I mean, for me, the high point was the recognition by Luongo, actually, who sat on the bench right beside us all game and said he had a lot of fun, and he heard us the entire game. And I think it's just the fact that we 45 people took on 18,000 Sabres fans and controlled the energy in that arena.
Were you guys swearing?
Well, you know, at one point there may have been a BS call after a BX, a penalty, which then turned into a no swearing chant. But
right. But my question is, though, you said in your article you had a few run-ins with the security in Buffalo.
Oh, security wanted to kick us out at least 5 times.
For what?
I was very impressed with Buffalo security. They were good with us. They knew how to control us. They gave us a lot of empty threats and threatened to kick us out a bunch of times, but as soon as we cooperated, they seemed to be okay. I mean, Buffalo deals with Bills fans and Sabres fans who drink a lot all the time.
You guys knew you were nothing compared to Bills fans.
Exactly. I mean, Bills fans are notorious for being loudmouth, drunken revelers. So
yeah. What did they say to you, the security, though? What were the threats about? I am interested in that because I've had experiences at GM Place games getting thrown out. I'll say
right,
that.
Right. Well, the first thing, we sat down, a bunch of guys ripped their shirts off because they had their chest painted, and they threatened to kick us out if we didn't put our shirts back on. So the guys put the shirts back on. Then we sort of got crazy again, and guys started ripping off their shirts, and finally they agreed that we could have our shirts off, but we just couldn't climb on the seats. We couldn't climb over the seats to get to other seats.
Okay.
Or obstruct the view.
Okay.
So then, okay, we said, yeah, okay, we won't climb on the seats. And then, of course, when we'd score, we'd climb on the seats. They say, sit down.
So it was sort of
this bartering system we had. You know, they'd tell us one thing, we'd do it, then we'd break the rule again.
but they didn't want to kick you out, it sounds like.
No, I don't think they wanted to kick us out at all. I mean, they knew that we were good for the game. Talking to Paul Gossett, Sabres forward, after the game, he told me that he thought the Vancouver fans got the Buffalo fans into it. You got to remember, there's maybe 100 to 150 total in the entire arena.
Yeah.
Let alone the 45 of us.
Yeah. It would have been pretty funny, though, if you guys did get kicked out as a group right behind the bench. That would have been quite something.
As a total, 45 people kicked out, paraded out.
But, like, how would they have even got you out of the building, I wonder? They would have had to bring down, like, a good 100 security guards to do it.
I don't think it's even safe to take 45 people out of the arena.
No,
I know that last year in Long Island that the whole group was escorted at the end of the game out of the arena, the very end. It was an 8-1 win versus the Islanders. Bertuzzi had a hat trick, and the security in Nassau Coliseum actually escorted them, like a full 10 security, out of the building.
That actually sounded kind of funny. Bertuzzi got a hat trick.
Yeah, Bertuzzi did get a hat trick in that game.
That sounds funny today. But
I think we actually are eyeing a trip to Florida next year to see the Panthers play.
But then once again, you're getting to a very expensive trip, and that's what you have to do this.
Exactly. I mean, the thing is, I didn't go last year because flying to New York is just a bit more expensive. And on a writer's salary, forget about it.
We're Buffalo. But you hop in your car, you hop on a bus for 2 hours. And you did say in your article, Adam, that it was $150. It was $100.50 for the whole trip, basically, counting your drinking after, pretty much.
No. $150 per ticket, Canadian. That's what it cost to sit third row in Buffalo beside the players' bench. $100 Canadian.
Okay, yeah.
We chartered a bus, so we had a bus for 24 hours, which was a nice bus. That cost another $100, $50 each way, and we stayed the night in DoubleTree Hotel, which was maybe about $25 American each if you share it with three guys.
So not bad.
Not too bad at all. It's really, $200 to $300 if you factor in some beer and some food.
And you have a nice picture in the province as a memoir.
There you go.
Are you going to watch the All-Star game tomorrow?
Probably not. I'm watching the rookie game right now, and it's like, do I really care if Anze Kopitar is skating in on another breakaway? Like, ridiculous.
I'm not into, basically for me also, my sports fandom is, this is sort of where the NHL starts for me right now. Hockey, football's over, they're sort of in there.
Yeah.
Quite frankly, the Super Bowl is almost a letdown for me every year. It's the weekend for football was the championship games. You get the home team, you don't have the hour-long halftime show.
Yeah.
The Super Bowl is just too much hype sometimes. So this is really where hockey starts for me. And to be honest, the hockey season is way too long, and a 35-game season is pretty good to follow, to be perfect.
There used to be 78 games in a season.
What's that?
There used to be 78 games in a season.
No, it was always 80, 82.
No, I thought there was 78. I'm pretty sure there was 78.
Well, it's only 82. What, those four games bug you that much?
Well, I mean, they've cut down in the preseason, but, I mean, it's just, you're right. It's 5 or 6 games too long.
I think it's about 20 games too long, actually. Even 30.
20 games.
Yeah, I think it should be about 60.
60 games, and would you have a preseason?
Sure, why not? You got to have your preseason.
Sure, 60 games of the preseason?
No, a 60-game regular season.
Okay. 60-game regular season. And, I mean, I like the idea of finishing in May. I mean, hockey in June just doesn't work for me.
No, that's when I'm into baseball, to be perfectly honest.
Yeah, I mean, you know what? The only redeeming factor is that if you can put a TV outside and barbecue and watch a playoff game. But, I mean, at that point, it's like, New Jersey Colorado final, and you're like, okay, I'm pretty bored. I'm going to go play soccer or frisbee outside.
I'm going to go outdoors right now.
Yeah, it's the summer.
I'm going to go outdoors. So, I don't know. And the New Jerseys, what are they saying about those in Toronto? Out here, they don't really know. I've sort of got an indifference to these New Jerseys right now.
Well, I mean, there's varying opinion. I read one hockey player, I can't remember, who said he's not in favor of it because he thinks it's going to expose certain fleshy areas that aren't covered by pads, and that guys, by nature of being aggressive hockey athletes, are going to go after those areas.
What, tubby
guys? I thought that was kind of an interesting thing.
Oh, in the jersey itself, there's going to be areas exposed.
Yeah, so the jersey's form-fitting, and it contours to, say, your legs or, you know, your abdomen, whatever, right? And then he thinks, this hot one hockey player, I just can't remember who it is, he thinks that guys are going to go after the spots where they can see that there's no padding.
What about what we're told is the logos themselves are going to be different, and they're going to get rid of the Montreal Canadiens. The stripes are going to be shown the different. They're going to go a different angle now. The Maple Leaf's going to be changed. All that stuff. The Bruin jersey will be different.
The Maple Leaf. I actually think that there'd be a few like 45-year-old balding dudes who would commit suicide if they changed the Leaf logo. there's no way they can change the Leaf logo. If there's one thing I know about this world, it's don't change the Toronto Maple Leafs logo.
No, but
I don't see it happening.
With Montreal, the stripes, it's the way they're set up now, sort of going down, that apparently with the, what are they, Reebok jerseys? They all have to go across.
They are Reebok jerseys, yeah.
So it's going to be, they're going to have to change the way the stripes are set up on the Montreal and Bruins jersey. Montreal's the big one.
Montreal is still, you know, nostalgia for me. I don't find any nostalgia in Dave Keon, you know, like, I find nostalgia in Richard and Béliveau. So, if they change something and it doesn't work, I mean, can they change it back? How long do you go with something that sucks?
Right. And Adam, what was the average beer intake for your group? Not counting you, who had to stay sober to write the article.
I did stay sober. I know guys on the bus ride alone took back 10 cans of beer.
Because apparently, I haven't seen it, but apparently you guys look trashed on TV.
Oh, man. I mean, you know, we got stuck in traffic pretty badly, and then we had to make that stop at the hospital for an extra half hour. So our bus ride down was probably a good 4 to 4.5 hours. And, you know, guys can drink quite a lot in that amount of time when you're stuck in a moving
bus. And what was the attitude when Buffalo scored to tie it with 40 seconds to go? Were you distraught, or you still knew you had seen a great game?
I mean, it's not like anyone was very distraught. We were all disappointed. We were really hoping for a win. There was kind of like, you know, that sort of, you know, I know something you don't know. I'm having more fun than you no matter what.
Right.
So everyone was a little down, and we had a power play in overtime. We just couldn't put it through. And, you know, everyone knew that we were going to go out after and have fun. And, you know, Buffalo is not exactly a pretty town. So we just kind of holed up in some dirt bar and just had a good time.
I don't want to hear any. I've never been there, but don't insult Buffalo. Don't insult Buffalo.
Oh, Buffalo. It's
not on my
certainly
show.
Not pretty to look at.
Not on my show. Not on show. And I guess it would have been different, though, if Vancouver had lost it with 40 seconds to go in regulation. And they'd actually lost the game.
I think so. Yeah. What was nice about us is that we didn't get into the game until it was 1-0. And then from that point on until the shootout goal, we weren't losing.
Right.
So we always had something to sort of cheer for, even if they had scored to tie it up. It wasn't the end of the world.
Well, good job. Yep.
So that was the best part, is that we always had something to look forward to, and the Sabres fans were actually very into it. When they tied it up, that place went nuts.
Yeah, I'm telling you, don't diss Buffalo. I like Buffalo.
Great fans. Just it kind of looks like a welder's wet dream.
But they have more professionals, major professional sports teams than Vancouver does.
That's correct. Don't you miss the Grizzlies now?
No, I don't. Well, I kind of do, actually, but what are you going to do?
By the way, this is the last thing I'll say. You know, if the Grizzlies are probably in Vancouver, prices for a Canucks game would probably be way less.
Yeah, touche. Awesome. Adam, thanks for coming on.
No problem, Daryl. Have a good day.
Talk to you soon. Okay, that was Adam Siegel, real good friend of mine, and part of that crew that went down to Buffalo on Friday night to see the Canucks play the Leafs. Good times, had a while. Adam actually If you listen to our station, CITR 101.9 FM, on your FM dial, Adam used to do a show called Synchronized. What was it called? Alex Farber's show on Friday night. Adam used to help out with that one. So he's got some CITR blood in him, which we love to see. We love to see. Anyways, yeah, the All-Star game is today, and my thoughts are on the schedule. As I said, four of us, we share a little Canuck tickets, and we're way up. We're way at the top. We're the top row in the whole building. We've got our seats, and we sell off, you know, almost a ton of the tickets. But we've got our seats. We're top row, but we like it. And, you know, I don't know. Personally, I like the divisional rivalries. I actually do. I love going to, I mean, I think I've set it up where I'm at the games I'm going to this year. I'm going to every Calgary game, and I like to do that, but would I give up a Calgary game to see every Eastern Conference team come here this year? To be honest, of course I would. It's the schedule, not for me. It's not for me. Baseball had something where you only played the NL or you only played the AL. You stuck with your own league. Hockey never had that, though. And baseball, for me, I wish they hadn't gone interleague. But you know what? For the fans in that city, it's a big deal. I remember going down to Seattle with the family to see my Dodgers play. It was awesome at the Kingdom. It was awesome. That's when the Mariners were good and the Dodgers were still, well, they were, you know, fighting for playoff spots. But, you know, hockey, though, all our lives, all the time, hockey, they've had the, as they say, interlocking schedule, however you want to put it, where you play the team in the other league. But to suddenly take that away from your fan and your ticket holder, come on. I mean, you're jerks as it is. First you go off, you cancel a whole season on us, and now you go and you make it so, you know, as Adam said, the Canucks will not be playing Ottawa, Montreal, or Toronto next year. They did the vote today. It's not happening. 19 of 30 owners voted for a change. They need two-thirds. 19 of 30 owners. That's 63% of the owners voted for a change. But because 11 of the 30, just over 35%, said no, it stays the same. Are you joking? You got to look at your fans, but that's the National Hockey League for you. And that's just the way it is. And, you know, it sucks because when Toronto does come here, it's awesome. When Montreal does come, it's awesome. When Ottawa does come, it's awesome. Crosby, are you kidding me? Ovechkin, people wouldn't mind seeing Tampa Bay, Philadelphia, even Philadelphia. They're doing bad, but you still wouldn't mind going to see the Flyers. The Rangers are a good ticket. The Devils aren't a bad game to go see. It's just a real bummer for the Western Conference fan. And I heard it said today, wouldn't it be funny? What do you think is going to happen if Kansas City does, in fact, get the Pittsburgh Penguins? What do you think is going to happen? Well, before you blink, they're going to change the schedule, and they're going to make it so Sid the Kid stays in the East, you know, gets to play the Eastern Conference teams at least once a year because, God forbid, we can't upset the Eastern Coast. And, Adam, I got to give them credit. I have always dissed people who live in the East Coast for moving to the East Coast and rooting, you know, you can't be a true Canuck fan, I always said, if you move to the East Coast or if you moved out of Vancouver. You sort of got to give something up to the people who stay in the city. But apparently, and I haven't seen the tape, and it is recorded. I know two of my friends were at the game, and their parents live right by my parents, and they've got it on tape. Apparently, these guys were absolutely great on Friday, and yeah, I got to see that tape. So I'm gonna watch it and chuckle and be jealous. Be jealous that I wasn't there. So there you have it. All-Star game going on, though. Meh. Honestly, good call by the NHL for having it on a Wednesday night, I guess. And, you know, I've talked to friends out there, and we're sort of making not plans to see it. You talk to guys, everybody basically says, I might watch half a period. I might watch a period. But I'm not going to make plans to go get together with guys and people and see the All-Star game. I'm not going to do that. If I happen to be home or if I happen to be at a place and I've got nothing else to do, which is very probable, maybe I'll watch the NHL All-Star game if I'm in front of a TV. I give them credit this year that they finally got their heads out of their butt in that they didn't put it on like Saturday Super Bowl weekend. They've done that before, I believe. Like, what are you doing? Everybody's got the Super Bowl the next day and you're putting your dumb All-Star game? It's almost like they figure, oh, let's get it into a real sports atmosphere weekend and put it on. Anyways, hockey, just got to admit who you are and move on from there. I need liquid. Anyways, folks, we are going to take a quick break here on Wiener's Barbecue. I'm going to try to get a hold of Steve Ewan from the Vancouver province, talk to him for a couple minutes. BJ Brian Bass, we got a lot of NFL talk. We're going to do our last 20 minutes on football. Bill Parcells announces he's retiring. The championship game weekends. I it was kind of tough for me watching the NFL championship games on the weekend. Not a huge Colts fan. Not a Patriots fan. And I realized watching that game on Sunday, it's kind of a game where, you know, as it got closer, I was going to root for the Patriots, but I never realized how much I actually disliked the Colts till they were playing the Patriots, who I don't like, and I was rooting for the Patriots pretty much all the way. And now I'm definitely rooting for Chicago in the Super Bowl. Maybe BJ Brian Bass, our Las Vegas correspondent, will have an answer for me. Will have the answer for me in about 10 minutes' time on why I'm so anti-Colt. I don't know. Do we just not like Peyton Manning? Do we just think he's not that cool? Is that what it is? And we'll get into that. Also, I'm going to get into the Australian Open. Got to check some scores. I normally love to watch tennis. And if you listen to me, you do know that I'm a big tennis guy. But this Open, I don't know, maybe it's because I had to work too much when the games were on. I couldn't watch it at night. And I was away on the weekend, so I couldn't catch that. But time to get into it now. And, you know, we're coming to the end here. Going to be some great matches coming up. So if we have time and if we can fit it in, I'll get some tennis in. Anyways, we're going to take another break. Going to try to get a hold of Steve Ewan from the Vancouver province, and we will be right back in a moment. You are listening to Wiener's Barbecue on 101.9 FM, CITR Radio, Vancouver, Canada. Welcome back to the show, Wiener's Barbecue here on 101.9 FM, CITR Radio. How's your Tuesday going?
How's my Tuesday? It's good.
I'm talking to you. What's new? What's happening?
I'm just hanging out. What's happening with you?
Nothing much. I'm a little tired today. I went to Victoria on the weekend, And I had a couple friends there who were both out of town, unfortunately. So I stayed with my cousin, who's in about third year school, living in like a big house. And yeah, I'm still recovering. I'm not 20 years old anymore, apparently.
Well, you know, you are 21, though.
Apparently. Anyways, with us right now, Stephen Ewan from the Vancouver province. So, Steve, the big topic today, and I got lots to get into with you right now, but the big topic today, big sports fan, Steve, is the NHL. Gary Bettman comes out today, announces that 19 of the 30 owners voted for a change in the scheduling. Not enough. They needed 20, so it won't be changed. Therefore, Vancouver, Montreal, and Ottawa will not only not be coming to Vancouver next year, the Canucks will not be playing any of those teams next year. What do you have to say about that?
That's goofy. That's goofy, and that's how backwards the NHL is at a point. There's no way in Michael Jordan's payday they wouldn't have made sure that he got to every single venue in the league, including outposts like Vancouver.
Well, and Jordan wouldn't be playing in L.A., and isn't Sidney Crosby the kind of guy they should be trying to get into every stadium?
As much as they've improved things, as much as the game is better, and as much as the salary cap has helped, it's still, you know, you still don't have to wonder why it's the third or fourth or fifth tier league.
It actually is, though, isn't it? What has the NHL become, Steve? It just sort of seems to me there.
It's behind NASCAR.
Well, yeah. Oh, it's big time behind NASCAR. But I sort of see it as a league that has its hardcore fans who will pay to watch them, but if you're not. Yeah.
In Canada and the Northeast and you know, Northeast U.S. and all that kind of stuff, but yeah.
Yeah, and if you're not that hardcore fan who goes to the games, you're not even going to follow it. Like you said, excluding Northeast U.S. and Canada. It seems that's what it is down in the States.
Yeah, it does. It's you know, like if you read any of the U.S. papers in L.A. or Phoenix or any of those other places, you know, I think the L.A. papers don't even go on the road with the Kings. You know, or the Kings or the Ducks, right? It kind of gives you some idea of where they sit in the whole, you know, hierarchy of things. I'm sure they go on the road with the college teams.
Right. No, for sure. And the other thing I heard today is ESPN, who used to carry, you know ESPN, the biggest network, sporting network in maybe the world, is...
I heard of them.
You've heard of them. Is they were, you know, they used to carry NHL games. They went for a little better deal, more money-wise, at OLN. Is the NHL... is not even having their All-Star game covered. ESPN is not sending anybody down to cover the All-Star game.
Well, I mean, that was the great question right there. Like, you know, sure, you got, you know, like it might have been a little bit better financially, the OLN deal, if at all. But what you did is you took away the urgency from ESPN of promoting its own product and promoting its own games. And all of a sudden, you know, you weren't, you know, automatic item on you know, SportsCenter or Sportsnet or whatever their highlight show is. And you took away that. And how many viewers did you take away by not making it an automatic view as part of their, you know, highlight package?
Right. No, for sure. And are you going to watch the All-Star game tomorrow?
No.
Me neither. Do you have the skill? Where are you right now? Are you in front of a TV? You're out and about, aren't you?
I am at the Giants game writing a story on Carey Price.
Okay. Yeah, that's our next topic. Let's get into the Vancouver Giants there, Steve. So the Giants right now, 30 wins, 10 losses. And bunch of stuff going on. I don't even understand how to pronounce this overtime stuff anymore. OT is overtime losses?
Yeah, and then shootout losses. And I think I think they're 30-10, 3-4.
Okay. I got 30-10, 3-5, actually.
Okay, 3-5, sure.
3-5. So, you know, they got off to a wicked start there, Steve. Are they starting to slip a bit here? I see Everett's pressed them in the standings.
I think it's just kind of the midseason kind of doldrums, and they're in a bit of a slide right now, and there's all sorts of excuses why, and they're not playing that badly. I think that's, from a Giant standpoint, they have to be happy about that, is they're not, you know, they're just going, you know, they're not getting breaks right now, and they're not getting the big save when they need it, or the big goal when they need it, or any of those type things. So, I mean, I don't think it's a panic stage yet. I mean, but, you know, when you're shooting for a Memorial Cup, when you're 4-5-1 in your last 10 or whatever they are, you can't be happy.
Right, and any fear here? No score. I just see the scoring leaders in front of me. No Vancouver Giant in the top 12 in scoring.
I think that's just kind of they're a scoring by committee up front. I mean, they're not a real overly skilled team up front. They have to be a mucking and grinding and run the goalie over to score kind of team. And you know, they're not going to have guys up, you know, they don't have a rock star like they had last year with Gilbert Brulé.
Right. And the goaltending situation, when are they trading this guy?
When are they? The trade deadline was a week ago.
So they didn't trade him? What happened there?
Dustin Slade told them that he wouldn't go elsewhere in the WHL, so he's trying to find a job somewhere in Junior A.
And that's it, hey?
That's it. They're done with him.
And is he? What happens to his career from now on?
It's going not so good.
No, but was this guy an NHL prospect and all that stuff?
He was a minor league prospect. He had a chance to play some of the minors and really make his way up. He was a smaller guy, and you know he was going to have to win himself, win his jobs through the minor league system and you know build his way up to you know being an NHL guy. He had a great season last year. He had a chance to really turn some heads again this year if he had stuck around. He got frustrated with the situation here, you know, with having to split time with his former backup from last year, and he just didn't want to stay.
So cool. So you've got Tri-Cities in there tonight, Steve. So it's Carey Price as their goaltender. That has to be exciting down there.
Yeah, it's going to be fun. I think it'll be interesting to see what kind of response he gets. We were talking about them going to Kamloops, and he got a standing ovation, and you know the Kamloops fans were chanting his name, and a little bit odd for him.
Right, but you know you do.
W5 is following him around. W5 is doing a week in the life of Carey Price or something, or. You know, something in the life of Carey Price. So it's, you know, his life has changed.
Oh, very cool. Very cool. And, Steve, we got to get going here, but in a sec, I apologize for that. But are you following wrestling right now?
A little bit.
Who are the champs? Who are the champs right now?
John Cena is the heavyweight champ, the Raw champ.
Yeah, I know that. Are they still doing the Raw and SmackDown champions? Are they still doing that?
Yeah, and ECW as well.
Okay, yeah. So John Cena's the Raw champion, but not the SmackDown champion?
No, it's Batista, I think.
Batista. Okay, who's the tag team champion?
Who are the tag team champions? It was Edge and RK and Randy Orton.
Nice, Randy Orton, okay.
I think they're still got the belts. Okay. I think Mickie James is still the women's champion.
Okay, don't know who she is. What about the hardcore belt? Is that still going on?
Did they get gone.
They got rid of that, hey?
Long years ago.
The high point of the hardcore title was they did like a, I don't know, like a 20-minute match or something once, and the belt changed like 15, 16 times.
I remember it being, the whole shtick was that it was always up for grabs, and they were pinning guys in parking lots and hotel rooms.
But it was great, and the high point of it for me was they had this match, it was like 20 minutes, and the belt was constantly changing hands, and every time a guy got it, he'd cheer and then get hit right away and be pinned. It was wonderful, where two members, I believe, of the Mean Street Posse at one time actually had the Hardcore Championship.
The Mean Street Posse, those were the days.
Those were the days. Awesome. Steve, we got to get going. Always do appreciate it. Thanks, Steve.
Thank you, buddy. Bye-bye.
All right, that was Steve Ewan from the Vancouver province. We've got one final break to go here on Wiener's Barbecue, 101.9 FM, CITR Radio, Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada. When I'm back, we're going to have BJ Brian Bass on from Nevada, Las Vegas to do our little football talk because there were some pretty, pretty good games on the weekend, and we're going to talk a little Super Bowl. We'll do more Super Bowl next week, but we'll get into all that fun stuff. We'll be back in a moment. You are listening to... As I've said it before, 101.9.
Fins demà! moi quand on vit ton contrat. Je t'appellerai quand je n'ai rien d'autre à faire. Et nous ne serions plus ce soir.
Appelle-moi quand tu n'as rien d'autre à faire.
Je t'appellerai quand l'envie me prendra.
Je t'appellerai quand je n'ai rien d'autre à faire.
Appelle-moi quand l'envie t'en prendra. Appelle-moi quand tu n'as rien d'autre à faire. Je t'appellerai quand l'envie me prendra. Je t'appellerai quand je n'ai rien d'autre à faire. Appelle-moi.
All right, everybody, welcome back to Winner's Barbecue here on a little tangled here. Here on 101.9 FM, CITR Radio, Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada. Hope everybody is having a very wonderful Tuesday afternoon out there. You know, as I said at the start, we've got through the tough. We've gone through the difficult. The weather is starting to improve. You can see it. You can see it coming. You can see it happening. Anyways, folks, couldn't get a hold of BJ, so you're going to have to deal with me for a little bit here on a little NFL talk as the conference finals did take place on the weekend. Two pretty good games, I have to say it. I was entertained by both of them. The Saints, all about the fumbles, and the Colts-Patriots game, all about pure insanity. That was really... Actually, it was all about the Colts coming out in the second half and blowing the crap out of the Patriots. But I would like to start it off as Bill Parcells has announced his retirement yesterday. Ends his career 9-7 in Dallas, record of 172-130. And I think he was I could be wrong. I think he's got the two Super Bowls, both in New York, 1986 and 1990 with the New York Giants. So Bill Parcells does retire yesterday, and ironically, you know, if you're from Northwest and you're watching playoff games, it's the last game Bill Parcells ever coached. The Tony Romo game, the fumble off the snap, the last game Bill Parcells ever coached. Quite a weird, crazy way to end a very lucrative and illustrious career, and that's how Bill Parcells will end it. That was, you know, the last play of meaning. Was they did have a Hail Mary attempt in the end zone, but the big play in that game, the Tony Romo fumble. So that's how Parcells' career ends. I was never a big Bill Parcells guy, but you can see it everywhere this guy went, success. He goes to the Giants, wins a couple Super Bowls, goes to the Patriots, you know, has a couple real good years with them, goes to the Jets, pretty decent, goes to Dallas, you know, 2 out of 3 years were decent there. So, you know, he wasn't a outright winner, wasn't a dominant coach, but you know, you can only do so much, I guess, with the hand you're dealt, and I don't know, but Bill Parcells does retire yesterday, and that closes a chapter on really one of the great coaches in the NFL, and you know, he was a character, Bill Parcells, and he did it his way, so he also could come back. I mean, he's retired once before, took four years off between the Jets and the Dallas. Jets and Dallas, 1999 to 2003. Took 3 years off between the Giants and Patriots. So, you know, it might not be done, but I think this was the first time, I could be wrong, that we've actually heard retirement with Bill Parcells. Anyways, National Football League talk going on right now. The championship games. The Super Bowl is set up. It's going to be at Miami Sunday, February 4th, 3 p.m. So pretty late on the East Coast, 6 o'clock, but 3 p.m. And we're going to have the Chicago Bears getting it done. Only three losses in the regular season. Going to be taken on for the first time ever in his career, Tom Brady and the Indianapolis Colts. And with Brady, Peyton Manning. I just said that, didn't I? Peyton Manning and the Indianapolis Colts. And it's kind of ironic that Peyton Manning gets into the Super Bowl. I guess this is just how it happens, is Peyton Manning gets into the Super Bowl when his team, you know, they struggled down the stretch. They started off, I think it was 9-0, ended up 12-4. They lost four of their last seven games, which in football is a pretty big deal. And Peyton Manning and the boys getting into the Super Bowl in a time where they're not rolling through the league, when they're sort of having to earn it the hard way. They have to, you know, they took on Kansas City, and then they went into Baltimore. They had to go into Baltimore. They won that. And then I think they got the huge break when San Diego went to bed for their game against the Patriots. Three terrible plays by the Chargers in that loss. The headbutt, the one where the guy dropped the punt and didn't jump on it, tried to run with it. And then the other play, fourth down, catches the interception, fumbles it, running it back. That drive later leads to the touchdown, two-point conversion. Patriots go on to play the Colts. Look like they're going to go on to the Super Bowl, leading 21-3 at one point and end up losing at 38-34 in what can be called a crazy, crazy game. So that's what went on. Is Peyton Manning, one of the great quarterbacks in the NFL, you know, put him up there with guys, especially you can finally get that Super Bowl. It's kind of weird where just people talk about legacies and all this stuff, and, you know, people that follow that stuff don't really know what they're talking about so much in those particular sports. But, you know, it's very easy to say quarterback's great on championships. Well, you know, it's just one game, right? And it's very tough to say who's better because of that one game. Well, what's kind of funny about it is, as of right now, Tom Brady's the guy. But if Peyton Manning goes out, wins one, maybe two Super Bowls, then he's the guy. You got to give these guys their whole careers to then judge how they are. And Peyton Manning, you know, he's getting his shot now. He's getting his shot in the Super Bowl. You don't get these very often. You just look at, especially in the salary cap era, dynasties in these NFL, and you're seeing hockey too, I'm sure, just don't happen very often, if at all. Patriots, 3 and 4 years, yeah, they had a bump and grind. It wasn't like they rolled through the league and they're a truly great team. They had to win some tight ones to win those Super Bowls. And it was different players a lot of the time. I don't think the dynasty exists in the NFL. Baseball is the only sport you can still probably keep it together. The problem you have is if you're not the New York Yankees or Boston Red Sox, you can't keep your teams together. So what are you going to do? Anyways, Peyton Manning is going to get a shot in the Super Bowl. And when I say it like that, I'm kind of rooting for Peyton Manning. But Chicago trying to win their first Super Bowl. I think it was the 85 Bears got the Super Bowl. The great team. Mike Gett got Buddy Ryan, the great defense. And the Bears and the Colts going at it in the Super Bowl. Well, the championship games, we're going to do a lot of Super Bowl stuff next week, of course, on Super Bowl week. But the championship games on the weekend, got into that. Talk about the Bears one. You know, you look at the quarterback numbers very quickly in that contest, and you think you could guess which quarterback won 39-14. Drew Brees, 27 for 49, 354 yards, two touchdowns, and an INT. Now, that's actually a pretty good day for Drew Brees. You know, he's throwing about 55, 56%. Not a great completion percentage day. But Rex Grossman, his counterpart, only 11 for 26, 144 yards, had the touchdown, no interception. So, you know, you got to be thinking, probably looking at those stats, it's the Saints winning it. But then you get into the rushing. Reggie Bush shut down running the football. Had the amazing, amazing 88-yard touchdown pass. Caught the amazing 88-yard touchdown pass early in the third quarter where he made some jukes on some Bears defenders, ran into the end zone, did a somersault as he crossed the end zone line. What a game for Reggie Bush. But running the ball, 4 for 19. So he caught 7 for 132 and a touchdown, but he did have some trouble running the ball. Deuce McAllister, though, they needed this guy to step up. Obviously, didn't happen. 6 carries, 18 yards. And for the Bears, Thomas Jones, 19 carries, 123 yards, 2 touchdowns. I gave that guy away in my football pool about 3 years ago to B.J. Bass for Charlie Garner, who never did anything for me. And I'm watching him rip it up right now. Not good. Cedric Benson, real solid backup. 24 carries, 60 yards. Also getting the touchdown in that game was Thomas Jones. But the big one was the fumble rooskies, as you say, by the New Orleans Saints in this game. Drew Brees, couple fumbles, lost one. Colston had a fumble. Lewis had a fumble. But, I mean, one of those Drew Brees fumbles, too. New Orleans extremely lucky not to lose it. And they were all right away. I mean, in that game, the Saints, first play of the game, 7-yard pass, I believe, to Colston. Second play of the game for the New Orleans Saints, I believe it was Henderson catching it, a 40-yard pass on the second play of the game. Looked like they were rolling. And then at about the 32-31-yard line of the Chicago Bears, the Bears defense stepped up, getting a big sack on third down to force them to punt. Israel Adonijé, former Manitoba Bison of CIAU, now CIS football. That was good to say, good to see. And then slowly but surely, well, very quickly, but it was sort of a chunky way the Bears were doing it. They're up 9-0, and then they got to 16, but then the Saints got back into it, trailed 16-7 with a great drive just before the half. Then Bush made it 16-14, and then I guess a turning point was Drew Brees throwing the ball away in the end zone, conceding the safety pretty much, you know, getting the intentional grounding, and then an amazing fourth quarter for Chicago. 3 touchdowns to New Orleans, none, and before you know it, it was a blow. But the Bears were tacking on a ton of points late, but still, big win for the Chicago Bears. They looked awesome. The question is, I highly doubt the Colts are going to make that many errors in the Super Bowl. The AFC Championship game, well, this is one the Pats let get away, isn't it? Tom Brady, this is one, you know, you got outplayed, I guess, by Peyton Manning. Great first half, of course, for the New England Patriots, running all over the Indianapolis Colts. Tom Brady, 21 for 34 in the game, 232 yards, 1 touchdown, 1 interception. Peyton Manning, 27 for 47, 349, 1 TD, 1 INT. But the stats aren't going to show you anything about this game. You sort of just have to look at the score sheet in this one. I mean, you can give credit to the Colts for holding back the Patriot rushing attack. I mean, it looked like they're all over them early. Lawrence Maroney was running the ball good. Corey Dillon was running the ball good. But I don't know what they got in the second half, but it couldn't have been much. And what a third quarter. I missed the very first touchdown for Peyton Manning and the Colts in the second half. We were out at Dairy Queen, but it was an 8-minute and 13-second drive. They stopped the Colts. Klecko gets the touchdown. Then the Pats come right back. Jabbar Gaffney, the Colts thought it should have been overturned his touchdown. Wild fourth quarter. Joseph Addai, minute 17 drive for the Colts to win the game. And then Tom Brady comes on at the end, needing a touchdown to win it. Gets him all the way down to the 40-yard line. Can't deliver. Peyton Manning, you know, you have been able to knock him in the past, but you just can't knock Peyton Manning anymore. He delivered how he should have delivered, and that's really all there is to say. I mean, I don't know. We're going to find out in the Super Bowl. He won this game, and I heard a guy say today, you know, Peyton, he's got the Tom Brady, you know, monkey off his back apparently, but if they go into the Super Bowl against the Chicago Bears and Rex Grossman, and if the Colts don't win that one, that'll almost be even tougher. I keep saying Tom Brady, but I hope I'm saying Peyton Manning here. That'll even be tougher for Peyton Manning to explain because, you know, they're the favorites. It's their Super Bowl to lose. And if Peyton Manning and the Patriots and the Colts, excuse me, can't win this one, wow. Anyways, folks, that is all for Wiener's Barbecue on this Tuesday, January the 23rd. I'd like to thank all my guests right now, Vern Knopp and Cody Berg from the UBC Thunderbird men's basketball team, fresh off their big-time split. They needed the split. They got the split in Victoria on the weekend. I'd like to thank Steve Ewan from the Vancouver province and my buddy Adam Siegel. living his claim to fame as he got to write the article for the Vancouver Province on those Canuck Buffalo fans who went to Buffalo on Friday, and apparently they put on a pretty good show as fans. Anyways, that is it for me. Mike with Flexure Head is the guy coming on right now. So I'll... What's that?
You bet.
You bet. How you feeling today, Mike?
I'm good.
You're good.
Nice and rested.
Me? I'm struggling. I got to go, like, take a nap or something. Anyways, that's it for me. Thanks for listening. Oh.
Oh, I took
it. What am I? Well, I'll put on something else. I didn't really like that. Well, it was all right. Anyways, that's it for me. Thanks for... Actually, give me something to play off of here, Mike. What can we play here today?
Oh, I don't know. I'm not good at that, remember?
Me neither. all right. Well, we tried. Anyways, actually, you know what we're going to do? You know what we're going to do? We're going to play an old hockey fight. Yeah, we're going to play an old hockey fight, okay? We're going to play an old hockey fight. It's 54 seconds. It's a minute four. We're cool with that, Mike?
Yeah.
All right. Here it is. Bob Probert versus Craig Cox. If you know hockey fights, you know what I'm talking about. All right, everybody. That's it for Wieners Barbecue. Thanks for listening.
Toughest guy in the league, and Craig Cox is taking him on. Hey, I don't want to get anywhere near this one, Jerry.
No. Stand back and actually throw punches, you know, sometimes.